Hello, Mark.
All right. Well, good morning, folks. As usual, we're having the technical problems with Skype, and it's a, well, there's no polite way to put it on the radio. Let's just say it's a really nasty tool sometimes, like when you need it and you're in a hurry. In any case, good morning, folks. Welcome back to Drive Time Friday. We are hopefully all online here, and I just heard Tim Kern pick up the phone, so let me say good morning to Tim first. Oops, I'm getting the word that he's having trouble talking because he's in a courtroom. I thought this was the week you were back.
I am, and I'm in a courtroom.
Okay, all right. Well,
and I've got some news from Honduras. So don't give up on me.
Okay, does that mean you'll be able to call later, or should we just
try me at the bottom of the hour?
Okay, we'll do. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon. And folks, okay.
You bet.
All right. Well, how about you, Jeff? Are you still there?
I are here.
All right. Well, I think if we would have been able to get, if the tool had worked, we would have been able to do that before the top of the hour. But that's MicroShaft, folks. Now that they've bought Skype, it just seems like every time there's a new update of these tools from these socialist media platforms, Jeff, and those that are owned by them, things get worse rather than better.
Well, you know, technology grows, and we have to grow with it, or we're going to get mad at it. That's the unfortunate part. It doesn't fit our needs. We have to fit its needs.
Well, and that's the there's a lot more to it. All right, well, let's do this. Let's talk about some of the news that is also along these same lines, how it is the technology and people who are run by the technology and want to rig elections and, you know, fill in the blank. Where would you like to start this week? It's been a week of revelations of just how crooked the whole stinking mess is.
Phone number, and I'll call you back.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that while you're talking to Phil so he doesn't keep trying to call.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording,
anyhow,
okay.
Yeah, lots of things going on. You know, I kind of like to have some interesting news from time to time, and while Mark's doing that, I'll throw some things out before so that whenever he comes back, we can get into the deep stuff. Do you guys remember Schwann's? You know, Schwann's, they do the home delivery, food distribution, and all that stuff. Well, they just got bought out by a South Korean company. Their largest food company has now bought Schwann's, and you guys might be able to have all kinds of different foods in your Schwann's delivery soon. Anyhow, so Mark, are you back yet?
I'm here.
Okay, good. So, yeah, lots of things going on. Hey, I wanted to throw something out. I didn't know if you had heard about it or not. Did you hear about Iran executing their Sultan of Coins? There was a... I think there was two guys, but the article I happen to have up right now deals with a single person that in Iran, he was hoarding and he had 2 tons of gold coin, and they executed him for it. Now, sure, this is Iran. Sure, it's an Islamic country, and they have some things they do differently than they do in the States. But it wasn't that long ago where it was illegal to have gold coinage in your possession or gold bullion even in your possession. And, you know, there are countries in the world right now that are executing, you know, death sentence, people for gathering gold coin. So, you know, I think that's really interesting, especially whenever we look at one day the United States could very likely also implement a similar strategy where they are saying for the sake of the national economic stability, no person shall hoard gold or silver coinage. And because it's for national security, being executed is actually part of being a treason, being treason under national security.
Let's.
So go ahead, Mark. I'm glad you're back.
Okay. Let me change gears just a bit, Jeff, because honestly, the truth is they're going to execute people for being constitutionally literate, and, you know, here's where we're at. We're watching an election in Florida and in Arizona and in Maine and in so many other places literally stolen, and they're not even trying to hide it anymore. I guess that's the difference. We know that all the way back in 1960, a lot of dead people voted in Cook County for JFK, and more particularly for the guy that was going to take office after they killed him, LBJ. And here it is 50-plus years later, and they got away with the execution, and now they're getting away with an election theft in broad daylight. Now, there has been so much news come out on that front that it kind of boggles the mind. So when I look at treason and I see, Hillary Clinton this week, a judge said, you actually have to ask some questions. It was Judicial Watch that was carrying the water on that one. So on all of these fronts, you're right. Where we're headed is clear. The attempt to outlaw anything except Big Brother's preferred Mark of the Beast kind of money is well underway. But what we're seeing now are all the steps there, and they're not even hiding them anymore. So we've got an election rigging thing to talk about. We've got just so much stuff that's in your face anymore that it kind of blows me away.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I don't have a lot of election stuff on my plate just because whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and nothing I do is going to change it. Many things going on. I've heard
and
all
that includes
kinds of
voting.
From even to the point of even to the point of in Florida, there have been more people that have voted that are even in Florida. So, you know, there's not even just that on even on absentee ballot. There's more people that have voted that are even registered in Florida. So, you know, sometimes you just have to think this is all just a big sham, and it's becoming untenable. Not only untenable, it is absolutely impossible for them to cover up all the problems that we have with the current voting system.
Okay.
Not only that, with also the Electoral College, but, you know, that's different. Go ahead.
So here was my point on all of this. A lot of people, including yours truly, have said for a long time, you know, the old line, if voting made any difference, it would be outlawed. Well, basically what they've done now is, essentially done that. Because you got people who in Florida and in Arizona and other places voted once. And it turns out, heck, that's not even a good coffee break number of manufactured votes in some of these crooked districts. And, you know, you point out how many votes were cast here and there. There were individuals a week ago observing that more ballots had been created after the races had been called in some cases than were left to count. In other words, I think the number was 80,000, although I lose track. They keep changing all the time. And ballots appear, ballots disappear. Guess which ones are which. So you're right to the extent that it's a sham. The reason why I think it's important to talk about is because people need to be aware of this. Because there are people out there that still think that when they go into that little booth and, you know, pull a fractional vote lever, and the floating point math says, okay, well, you know, depending upon how many we need, this might be 0.62317 of a vote. But if we need to change it after the polls close, we'll do that too. All of this stuff has been going on for a while. It's the fact that they're not hiding it anymore, Jeff, that I think Americans need to wake up and see. And why even go through the exercise of pretending that we believe that the votes matter anymore?
Well, that's just it. The more people who believe and act as if the votes matter, the more they can keep doing it and the more the momentum it has.
That's right. So it's up to us to talk about it and make sure that folks are aware of it.
There's such a need for change. Well, true. But like gerrymandering, you know, there's only so much you can say before you wind up getting pointed out by them and singled out by them.
So don't keep silent, I think, is part of the message there. All right. Well, okay. So, you know, with the news in Florida last week, what we've got, and maybe we'll have to come back to this when Tim gets back. And he actually lived in Florida for a while, and I think is probably more familiar with some of the crooks like in Broward County. You mentioned the word treason, and I mentioned that, we had more evidence come out on that this week with respect to Hillary Clinton. They're still not going to release the videotapes of the so-called, love fests. With her top aides, not quite under oath, presumably, before the FBI for reasons that we can pretty well guess. Let's see here. How about this one, Jeff? Let's talk about the other coast, the other crooked coast, where on the left coast, of course, you have some fires that are not only suspicious, but if not outright arson, certainly, as the president's pointed out, as a result of huge mismanagement, they're burning hot and they're doing things that fires wouldn't normally do. All of that aside, though, here's the story I think was interesting. And I don't even know who this person is. Pink, a singer of some kind. And her husband, they live in a $110 million home. $110 million home on the beach in Malibu. They had to evacuate because of the fires. And this is the funny part. This Hollywood type literally posted a, I think it was Instagram, several days later, saying and warning that looters would be shot on sight. And he urged his fellow Hollywood leftists to defend your land with their Second Amendment rights. Because I guess when they have an issue, and of course it's going to be their hired guns that'll be doing it in a lot of cases. But it, I think it was no shortage of irony there that the left all of a sudden is at least a few of them pointing out, oh, you know, maybe this is what the Second Amendment is about. The peons, of course, don't have a right to keep and bear arms, but when we need it, it's important.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, listen, number one, the fire is horrible. The people that have lost life or home or animals, horrible, just terrible. And again, looters are basically coming in, taking advantage of the situation. And it stinks. It stinks that people have resorted to living off the carcasses of their brothers. That alone should be a sign to America that we are not in the place we want to do, in place we want to be. Anyhow, so what else do you want to talk about? There's a couple things on my list that, again, are a little bit off the beaten path. Houston, Texas, they're now doing – there's a company called Cowboy Streetlight Concealments, and they've just made a pretty big sale to Houston, Texas. And now they're putting in covert surveillance cameras and microphones, which will hopefully, I'm assuming by their own statements, be hooked into AI, and then we will have Houston completely under guard. But you know that's already happening in other countries,
like
other states
London.
Already. But now Houston is going to be under.
How well is that working out for them in London, Jeff? The most, well, they were. I guess Beijing is ahead of them now. At one point, Londoners were the most surveilled people in the world. And I saw a piece this morning about how well knife control is working there. Now that not only have they gotten rid of guns, but they've now eliminated knives. And so as a result, they have a tremendous epidemic of knifings. There were more people knifed by the wonderful Muslim migrants there overnight and all week. And it looks like yet another epidemic that's completely out of control. Thank you, Big Brother. But they're watching them at least. I guess you can see the instant replay of people getting knifed.
Well, you know, again, it's one of those things. It's guns don't kill people. People kill people. Knives don't kill people. People kill people. Clothes don't make men turn into animals and attack women. People do that. Anyhow, I there's a lot of things going on in the world, and there's just so much stuff that's happening, and like in Venezuela, and also the caravan coming up from Honduras. I think, Tim has something to say about that as well. They've already arrived at the border. They're in, several hundred of them have made it to Tijuana. And, so we're going to see how this whole thing with the border shapes up now, because now it's here. But, there's just a lot of pressure going on out here, and it's just driving the world to extremes. Right now, this is, and I'm taking change of the subject again because I want you to pick up wherever you want to, but this stuff I want to talk about. The United States actually is trying to barter with Turkey with somebody that's here in the United States that Turkey wants, a cleric, and they're trying to barter with Turkey with this cleric over this Khashoggi murder. And we're bartering with human life over politics, and that kind of thing, I'm surprised that people aren't making more noise about. People aren't more upset that we're bartering life over politics in a very blatant act.
And here's why, Jeff.
I really am surprised people aren't making more noise about that.
People aren't paying much attention to what's happening in Turkey because they're seeing it happen in Washington, D.C. and the California coast and Florida and Arizona and Maine and Minnesota. And they're saying, okay, yes, it's a tragedy that they butchered this journalist, but guess what? They're planning on doing it here, and they're butchering the Bill of Rights. So I can understand that there is some indication, at least, that people are focused more on the criminality that they're seeing exposed and wondering how long do they have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully people will start saying something. You know, get out and say something. This is the time. Anyhow, Mark, where do you want to take it?
All right, I want to throw out one more. You know, we've got some of these weirdos. This one came out from North Carolina State University. I have to put the word sick in after that because I don't think university is what we're talking about here. They have announced that they are giving out a Ph.D. in social justice warfare. So, yes, they're now, you can now be Dr. SJW and Dr. Leftist Nutcase. I was joking earlier. You're probably, you may or may not have heard this when you were in college years ago, but we used to refer to what I remember as the degree in underwater basket weaving. And I'm looking and thinking, okay, I'd a lot rather have a degree in underwater basket weaving because at least you can make something than being a nutcase.
Well. Yeah. Listen, I think today we need basket cases. Anyhow, dude, I have no idea where to go with that.
It's just one of those things. You look at it and you shake your head and you go, okay, well, it explains a whole lot. And no doubt these people will be hired by Broward County to go down there and rig the next election. That's what social justice warriors do, it seems. And here's my comment, Jeff, because I have obviously watched this with disgust and ever more cynicism, and I don't think you can see what's going on without at least becoming a bit cynical and saying, okay, there are things Scripture tells us to do, and guess what? I contend voting isn't one of them. I've suggested for a long time that if you look in the Bible and try to find examples of places where there even remotely looks like a vote, it almost never, well, I can't think of a single case in all of Scripture, in other words. As I like to point out, the first recorded vote in history, fellows named Caleb and Joshua lost that one 10-2. And from there it went downhill. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing. I got nothing on this.
Let's talk about it.
I got nothing on this. You know, dude, this is where my mind is today. This is where my mind is today. I've got one of the bits of news I have on here is something I've been talking about for quite some time, and that is that we have a problem with metropolitan areas and how people are going to be able to be fed in these metropolitan areas. And there's a report that I have here talking about in the next 20 to 30 years, not only are we going to have 9 billion people they're expecting, but we have no way to feed that many people anywhere in the plans that we're building right now. There's nothing in the plans to support the population in 20 to 30 years. And they're saying that not only is it a problem in the Western world, it's a problem all over the world. So we're going to have, you think the news is bad now about, you know, Frankenfoods. We're going to have a heck of a lot more Frankenfoods in our future, and it's going to start very soon.
Well, I'll tell you, they have a plan, Jeff. You can read the Georgia Guidestones. We've talked about this. The plan is to say, oh, look, see, we're going to sensationalize. Can't feed 9 billion people, so what are we going to do? Well, look to California for an example. We'll burn them out of their land. We'll buy their land on the cheap. We'll put them in the cities, stuff them in the cities, and then we'll kill them. Maybe not necessarily in that order, because clearly, the plan has been to say, well, there's just too many people, and if we can't kill them with diseases, there was more story out of Africa just this morning, another incredible run of Ebola virus, so they're working on those things too. It's hard, again, not to recognize that most people have no clue of how evil what is planned is, and as we're watching, the veil be pulled back. You know, again, in Florida and at North Carolina State so-called University, where all of this is literally being exposed. Here's what we plan to do. We're not hiding it anymore. And if we can't disarm you first, we'll have to come up with another way of killing you. But don't worry, we'll get there. People need to be aware of it. That's my take.
Well, yeah, and again, I don't think there's anything we can do about it. All we can do is be aware of it and try to plan it.
Oh, there is. I don't buy that at all.
It's kind of like Frogger.
We can.
It's kind of like Frogger.
We can pray.
Because in Frogger, you've got to just avoid, you got to avoid the attacks, right? You bounce around. And we're going to have people that are going to be moved into these large metropolitan zones. And they're going to be managed through security zones inside those zones. And everybody within there is going to be operating within a very strict schedule, like a big HOA.
So here's the
everybody
answer,
outside
Jeff.
Of it's going to be in the Badlands.
Don't go. When we see what the plan is, we basically say, my dad used to have an expression when I was a kid and I wanted to do something I wasn't supposed to do. The answer was not just no, it's hell no. And I think that's literally what people have to say to cities like Houston and Broward County when they say, we're going to steal, we're going to kill, we're going to disarm you. We saw last week the fellow in Maryland who literally was executed because of a red flag gun confiscation order. And whether people like it or not, they're going to have to first wake up and understand what's going on, and then they're going to have to learn to say no. Do not keep silent. Scripture is clear on all of this. Now, and I had I got banned from another so-called libertarian website last week, actually before the election, for suggesting, how dare I, because the atheist in charge hates the idea of the God of the Bible. And I suggested that prayer was every bit as effective, if not a heck of a lot more, than a vote that you can't even confirm whether it's been counted or not. And that what prayer is a prayer to a real God as opposed to a vote, which is kind of a prayer to a fake God. And you can see what the God of Broward County is doing. So, I don't necessarily go along with the fatalism. Things are going to be ugly, but we do have an option. And we have been warned for a long time about what's coming and what we're supposed to do about it. And it starts with make teshuva and know who we serve.
Right, right. I mean, you know, if you have a position that you have on morality within your life, you should stick to it. Don't let the government whittle away at it. And that's, I agree with you 100%. So, you know, we've got between financial problems that we have. I mean, listen, we've got problems like in the UK right now. They've closed almost 20% of their branch offices. 20%.
Of what? What kind of branch offices?
Of their bank offices and that's 13,000 closures. This is really something that not only is getting out of hand in England, it's going to be out of hand in the United States and not very long from now.
Okay, you lost me here. What are you're talking about? What, shutting down branches so people can't withdraw what they're not going to be allowed to have pretty soon anyway, which is cash?
Right.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the story, so fill us in and why it is that's surprising, I guess.
Well, it's surprising in the fact that it's already starting to fall apart. I mean, England, a little bit of a stress case just because of Brexit and everything going on with Brexit. I mean, that's really all up in the air again. It's just amazing. May is losing most of her cabinet over this. And
good.
But at the same time, we've got
they've been sandbagging the British people, like the people in Florida, are waking up and going, "Hey, what's the point of a vote for Brexit if you're not going to do it? And when you get around to doing it, it's a total scam."
Right. Right. And that's just it. It's almost become its own industry. Well, anyhow, banks closing. People aren't able to get their money. People can't get to their money. They're talking about that RBS, Barclays, HSB, and Lloyds. These are big banks that have basically minimized their footprint all throughout Europe. In the United States, they have offices as well. It doesn't say how many offices in the United States. But when we get to the United States here within the next year or so, I would assume we're going to see quite a number of the same amount of bank closures and drawdowns as we're seeing in Europe. We just aren't able to support the financial crisis that has been growing for, what, 2 decades now? 3 decades now?
100 years, more like it. And it will implode. Oh, we know that. All right, we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Drive Time Friday. Your host, Mark Call, myself, Jeff Gilbert, and with us today, Tim Kern. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you made it. Listen, guys, just two things I want to throw out before we just take it off into the directions that Tim wants to take us, because he's got some pretty good information. Russia, during recent exercises, used a jammer to block and jam GPS signals during a major NATO military exercise with U.S. troops. This is something that we've been seeing a lot on over the last couple of years, that they have some kind of technology to jam GPS. We'll see what happens there. And finally, China's artificial sun nuclear reactor has now reached 100 million degrees Celsius, and it's a milestone in nuclear fusion. And here we have this rogue country out in the middle of, taking up half of Asia, and they are playing with fusion at a level that no one else in the world has been playing with it. So that's pretty interesting, right, guys?
Well, not that the U.S. supposedly hasn't been trying. It's just that as long as I have been watching the developments, fusion research has taken a kind of a back door. So it sounds like the Chinese, in contrast to what's been going on here, are actually serious about it. Okay, Tim, I know, welcome back. It's good to have you too. And, I know you said, during the break here, when we had a minute or two to talk, that you'd been in Honduras and, hearing some interesting stuff from down there. So let's talk about the mercenary migrant invasion and what you discovered.
Well, it was interesting. I talked to a security guard. He didn't have anything else to do. About 30 years old, family man, real nice fellow. And I asked him about the caravan, and I asked him how it came about that pretty much everybody all of a sudden decided to come at once. And he said, it's the darndest thing. It just started showing up on radio, on they've got talk radio, you know, and people started talking about it and saying, yeah, what the heck, let's go. And there have been a number of American lawyers down there telling people what to say and how to get in, and it's a piece of cake, and once you're in, you live in the land of milk and honey, and everything's wonderful. And even one of his coworkers with a government job decided to go, and he came back in 2 weeks. They're finding out that the land of milk and honey isn't letting them in, and that they've been sold a bill of goods, and they're very, very disillusioned. Just for reference, he makes $480 a week working full time. So it's not a lot of money, but he said it's one of the better paying jobs in Honduras, and it's a sure thing, and it's really not very hard work.
All right, so
he happened to be guarding the cruise ship port.
Two quick questions, Tim. Both of them a little bit.
Sure.
Both a little bit tongue in cheek. One, I guess the guy who came back maybe didn't have the proper ISIS or MS-13 credentials or gang tattoos or whatever. Two, did any of them know the name George Soros?
Well, I didn't ask him that. And it's not just the crooks that are coming up here. The crooks are coming in under the cover of the honest people.
Exactly. Sure.
The honest people are just believing the honest people are just drinking the Kool-Aid.
You betcha.
The other thing we didn't hear about, there's an island off the coast of Honduras called Roatan.
Been there.
It's where Mahogany Bay is.
Yep.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, not too long ago, the government of Mexico offered the government of Honduras for free to simply take over the security for the island of Roatan. And the Mexican government said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. We get something for nothing. And the people of the island got together and found out or figured out that Mexico was simply going to annex the island of Roatan. And once they were all in place, there was nothing Honduras could do about it. So the people on the island had a minor revolution, and this did not happen. But you got to watch the Mexican government, too. So there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't ever hear about back here in the 48, in the lower 48, you know.
Well, and so, real briefly, my visit.
It was a real interesting talk on this guy, you know.
Yeah, my visit to Roatan was a number of years ago, and Roatan, for those that don't scuba dive, is quite a popular dive destination, or at least it was. And even then, it was very different. I flew my plane in there and landed, and we cleared customs in Honduras, in Roatan, which is a port of entry. And it was very definitely different. And honestly, there was a whole lot that I didn't care for about the place. I haven't been back. But it was an interesting stop anyway. And I can see why it is that there would be an attempt to take over islands like that.
Well, it's a fairly deep water port. It's protected. It's off the coast, of course, of Mexico as well as Honduras. You know, it's right on the border. It would be a great place for Mexico to have a naval base.
Yeah, that's probably
true
as well.
It did not happen. And I think it's interesting that nobody here heard a word about it. At least nobody I know.
I hadn't heard about it. I suspect the only people that have might have been some of the pilots that would have been flying in there. But something else happened with Roatan, and that is that Big Brother has changed the rules. They're literally trying to destroy, as you're probably well aware, general aviation in the United States, but especially south of the border. I watched for years all of these general aviation airports, beautiful places where the owners of properties on the coast were making a lot of money catering to pilots and letting them fly in. And they have literally shut a lot of those down.
Sure.
It was the USDEA that ditched airstrips. And, in fact, they weren't having problems, but it was a great excuse.
Sure.
And what happened most recently, of course, is that on the southern coast, they shut down all the other ports of entry for planes that are coming in from the south. So now you have to enter in through just one and only one port. So that really put the kibosh on the ability of people to fly into Roatan as easily as they used to, among other places.
No, I did not know about that, but I can see why it would be there. And of course, the war on drugs is a war on freedom. And it's an excuse. It's an umbrella excuse for every action the government wants to take.
Exactly. And it's,
well, yes, war on terror is the same thing.
Well, the war on anything that's not a real thing is the same thing.
Absolutely. It's a way to consolidate power.
Okay, well, essentially, the other news this week, I guess, was that we had the caravan, and it seems to have decided that they want to go in towards southern California. I guess Jerry Brown made them an offer they couldn't refuse. Who knows? They're not going to report on that. But there were people scaling the walls. The only place I saw reporting on it had great pictures was the British papers, including the Daily Mail. And there was an interesting comment about the wall in Southern California. They have this convenient little stopover place on top. They actually put a ledge on top of the wall. Rather than putting, you know, like if you were serious about a wall, concertina wire right on top or spikes right on top, like everybody in Mexico and Honduras knows to do, they put this little place where you could get up on top of the wall and take a rest break. And then the concertina wire is kind of down on the other side so you can leap over it conveniently. And anyway, you know, the news was, of course, that a lot of folks managed to get there a lot faster thanks to the caravan that had trucks already provided and various rides for folks, buses and you name it. So that's beginning to escalate. And I'm going to throw out one more thing. The interesting weaponry that is, I guess you could call it 5G weapons, area active denial systems, and the things that the military developed. They're 95 gigahertz of frequency. Which is up in the millimeter wave band that's being used, at least planned on being used, unless people wake up and stop it, for 5G. And a friend at our Sabbath services actually suggested, hey, you know, if Trump was serious about denying these people the right of entry, what they need to do is put these microwave or millimeter wave weapons that are already developed, the military is employing, they use these 5G frequencies on the border, and as people climb the wall, just kind of sweep them, and the pain will be so extreme they'll feel like they're on fire, they'll jump back off. And the problem is that would reveal exactly how insidious the 5G plan is, so they probably won't do it.
Well, it's been probably 10 years since I've experienced the audio weapons that are already well developed, where you have a sender that's about the size and shape of a ping pong battle, and it can send an audio signal. The guy used it on me accidentally, and I was deaf for about 4 hours.
Wow.
He also used it on me at my request about a block away. And this is a little thing powered by a 9-volt battery. And a block away, it was unbearable. And 100 feet away, it took me to my knees. Now, you can defeat it by sticking your fingers in your ears, but that's hard to do when you're standing on top of a wall. They already use it in the military for harbor control, for voice control, because you can send your voice literally miles, very directed. It's like a like an audio laser.
Yeah, focused sound wave.
And you can send the you can send your voice literally miles across the water, and it's perfectly audible. There's no distortion.
Huh. Okay, interesting.
It's an astounding weapon. I don't know. And it was also designed for things like rock stars, where they could put 7 or 8 of these little transmitters on their car and just drive right through a crowd, because the crowd would all be, you know, falling over deaf. But it doesn't work for rock stars, because most of the people that go to the concerts are deaf anyway.
I was thinking something along those lines. All right. Well, let me ask you, Tim, since we talked about
the Who concerts.
Well, not just them, lots of others. What's in your mind the big story of the week?
Well, they were known for being the loudest group. Yeah.
Who?
Well, I'm missing a little bit what happened. The signal was garbled there, but you mentioned Jim Acosta earlier.
And, oh yeah.
You know, I'm a reporter too. I think I'll just go to the White House and demand a seat in the pool.
Why not?
I've got as much right as anybody else, right?
And arguably more than Acosta, because you're not a you-know-what.
Absolutely no sense. Well, that's part of it. But, you know, if you recall when Obama had the same kind of problem, he said, look, you're in my house. And for once, I agreed with him.
The difference
there's supposed to be some kind of decorum there, and nobody has a right to be in the White House pool.
Sure.
Nobody.
Well, so there's a lawsuit actually in place now, and for those that haven't followed this, and I don't blame them, Acosta literally accosted the president. He accosted the girl, the young lady who literally was told to go out and take the microphone away from that scumbag. And I clean my language up here because I can't bleep myself. But, you know, once upon a time, we called people like that rude or boors or self-impressed blankety blanks. And now there's only one word, and I can't say it on the radio, that describes how rude this guy is. He was kicked out for cause. But they didn't take his press pass away. As you know, all they took away was what's called his hard pass, which essentially allowed him to enter the White House because he's special without having to go through security protocols and stand in line. And he's too good to stand in line. So he's literally suing. His press pass hasn't been taken away, even his White House press pass. They just want the SOB to stand in line, and he is too good for that. So he's going to go to court and say, you peons don't have a right to a First Amendment freedom of speech, but I do because I'm better than you all. And we'll see what the court says. And the court honestly should have thrown this out.
Speech. This is
exactly. Yeah.
And they didn't. They didn't. They reprimanded the White House today.
They didn't. The court actually has ruled on it.
The point is that nobody. I heard this morning, and I have not confirmed it because I'm on the air, but I saw a little blurb on my feed that said that he was reinstated at a court order.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a judge that ordered that it be reinstated. I just don't know if it has been done yet.
If I was President Trump, I would tell the court exactly what a former Supreme Court justice 100 years ago was told. He's made his order, now let him enforce it. And tell the Secret Service, you keep that SOB out of here.
That's right. Or how many divisions does the Pope have?
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But that's the problem, Tim. I guess
so. There's a lot of this, but that's not freedom of the press. But you're talking about freedom of access to the White House, and if Jim Acosta is somehow owed this, what are the criteria for owing this to anyone else?
I can answer that, right? You know the answer. You must be a rude SOB who hates the president. And if you're a MAGA hat wearing, reporter who might actually ask a serious question that people want to hear the answers to, you're not going to be allowed in. Is that,
well,
does that sound
ask a question without making a speech first?
Sure. Here's I think, Tim, if I was to look at this week and say what is the true real story, and I've kind of alluded to this during the first segment, that the American people need to be waking up to, and that is that some are waking up to, it's that the gloves are off. They've been off for a while, but now they're not even trying to hide it anymore. You've got open election fraud in all over the country. You've got so many people literally coming out and lying, so many people that are don't even attempt to be honest journalists anymore, and not even an attempt to say the rule of law still matters. You don't have a right to a First Amendment. Facebook can shut you down. I even saw a story this morning where Facebook blurred out online at the veterans speech that the president was giving, they blurred out the presidential seal. This is just kind of Facebook slapping the president across the face, too. I guess they figure since Acosta can do it, so can everybody else if they're far enough left.
Did Facebook do that, or did the person who put up the post do that?
Well, it's not clear, and I've seen it repeated all over the place, so I've seen the photos, but I haven't heard the whole story. And here's the problem, right? We're not going to necessarily hear the whole story. You can't even trust, if the Acostas of the world are the only people who are going to get to tell you what's going on, you might as well not worry about it, because you know you're not going to hear the truth.
Well, that's the beauty of the internet now, and this is why they want so much to control it, tax it, and shut down pieces of it.
You bet.
And this is why the government is trying so hard to take over the large companies that are providing most of the access. This is why Google, Facebook, even Amazon is to some degree, Twitter. This is why there are so many efforts to regulate this, because as soon as you start regulating it, you regulate the content. You regulate the content, you win. And right now, I think too many people are getting too much information.
So does Google.
Shut this down.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well,
throw it down the memory hole.
There's something to be said for the lack of control over information that's being presented. You have anybody, just like us. I mean, who in the hell are we? We're nobody in the grand scheme of things. Yet we can make comments and stuff that can go viral globally, inshallah. Mm-hmm. But,
until they get shut down by Facebook and Google.
Well, true. But at the same point, there is a point to the argument that people have that Facebook in itself and its freedom of information, as well as the other types of social media, are actually a hindrance to society, because society is not able to deal with the amount of information that they're getting. And basically you have people that are fomenting, there was another death, a horrible, horrible murder in India over over somebody saying something on WhatsApp that wasn't true. And it ended in somebody dying. I think that's a problem with social media. I like the idea of freedom of information and information being able to be seen by the masses and not being controlled by the government. But at the same time, people tend to react to things before they realize or study if it's true or not, and people die from it. And that's a problem.
But the problem is not one that can be solved by government control.
You got it.
The problem is only one that can be solved by individual responsibility.
Agreed.
I've seen a number of stories. I've seen a number of stories.
But no one controls, the society. I agree, but
that's
no one
right.
controls the society.
But you can say it. You can say it out loud. It, how is that any different from putting it up online, except the size of the audience?
Isn't there a big difference? I mean, if I say it out loud, 10 people hear me. If I say it online, hundreds, thousands, or more hear me.
Well, so here's the solution. I think you're headed towards, Jeff.
People who react on that without checking it.
We cut out your tongue. That's what they intend to do. If people might say something bad, you just preemptively cut out their tongue, Minority Report style. Because we know what you're going to say, so we're going to preemptively shut you down.
And this is why we can't preemptively shut them down online either.
And not only that,
it's
what we're finding out
right argument.
And not only that, but as we find out that these public-private partnerships, and that's where I come down, Tim, when you have Google or Gulag literally in bed with communist China, Apple is you know, the slave labor capital leader of communist China, and their suicide prevention nets and so forth. You have Amazon that's getting their subsidies. You have Twitter and all of these other companies that have put their back doors in so that Big Brother can seek and search and destroy when they feel like it. So they're all in bed, literally, with Big Brother. There's no private business that's involved in any of these massive free speech cabal member behemoths online. So, you know, that's the problem when people talk about...
Let me ask you, why would...
Go ahead.
But they didn't put the back door in and then invite the government to use it. That was a threat of regulation from the government that forced
Absolutely.
Them to, or coerced them into doing it.
Absolutely.
They didn't just say, hey, we're going to be bad guys here.
I think they were inclined, some of them, to be a little bit way left of center to begin with, and it made it a little easier. You know, what's exposed, Tim, and I think this may be where we're all headed, is it exposed their hypocrisy, because they were always anxious to shut down people with whose speech they didn't agree. Now they have an official government excuse. It's the old Brer Rabbit, don't throw me in the briar patch thing. Oh, I don't really want to shut down free speech, but if it's the kind of free speech I don't like, well, force me, and I'm more than willing to do it. Except that, you know, if it's ISIS or MS-13's speech or, you know, something Islamic, well, we'll probably turn a blind eye to that. And witness what's happening in the EU, for crying out loud. They've got all kinds of new regulations there that are going
to
make it easier.
They have to remember this can swing both ways, and when it swings back the other way, and they've given that power, just like Harry Reid did with the nuclear option in the Senate, when the pendulum comes back the other way or when the opposition gets organized, they're going to be in huge trouble. And we have to make sure that the we have to push that pendulum back the other way.
while it's still possible. All right. Well, let me close with, I think, an interesting and arguably good note. We've seen this week that there were some so-called climate scientists, a major new global warming study that came out. It used a new method of measuring the ocean's absorption of heat. And they concluded that 60% more heat has been absorbed than even the alarmist Al Gorean types had previously thought. And it was widely reported by all of the usual suspects, the WAPO, New York Times, BBC, Reuters, you name it. And along comes another independent scientist in the UK who said he found a major problem with the research, and basically a major math error, where they had biased up significantly the uncertainty. In other words, there were things that they didn't know, and they were a lot bigger things that they didn't know than they realized they didn't know. And furthermore, the result of the math error was to bias up the amount of their central estimate of additional heat by a full third, by 30%. Now, here's what's interesting. The researchers actually had peer review. They said, you know what? Son of a gun! The guy's right! And we were grateful to have it pointed out to us so quickly so we could correct it quickly. They have submitted their changes to the journal Nature, and supposedly it'll be fixed. So that's the good news. I'm curious about this, Tim. How much coverage after the original headlines about more global warming are the same series of global warming proponents going to say that, oops, we made a mistake? Or is it simply going to be page 47D of the WAPO?
It'll be page 47, especially if it's a 44-page edition.
Yeah, you got it.
You're not going to hear about this, and it's not going to travel around the world. Just like the East Anglia fraud didn't really make it very far.
Well, that was what I was going to mention.
Out about it. It didn't go through the same. The corrections didn't go through the same channels.
Exactly. Well, that'll do it for today, guys. Thanks for being with us, folks. Shabbat shalom.